This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Carl Lord, Louisa Demir, and Tom de Ridder. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Yeah, good.
Thank you. Very well, thank you.
How are you involved with digital asset management?
Carl and I were working for Interikea Systems, which is the franchisor of IKEA. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really important to safeguard all the intellectual property and the media assets. For me, for instance, I'm involved because I was a project leader for the first digital asset management implementation we did. And since then, I've been working with additional projects related to DAM and also the questions that start to pop up once you go into this DAM business.
And I work on the IT side, so I'm responsible for the operations and securing that the services within the company are working as they should, so that the business has the right availability for the DAM solution.
And I'm a CTO of a company called Style Labs, and we're based in Brussels. We at Style Labs, we started out as a WCMS company, but we gradually moved to the dark side and did the back office for marketing solutions, and then DAM is our main thing right now.
And how does a global organization focused on furniture and housewares use digital asset management?
Well, we use it for a lot, and we even have multiple DAMs within, because we are so many different IKEA companies. So, but we as a franchisor, we need to protect the brand and also secure intellectual property. So we are making sure that the officially approved assets are available in our DAM so that we can make additional usage of the assets. So we can use that for local marketing, etc. So we're using it both for the global marketing, which is more about the IKEA catalog and so on. And then we're also enabling local marketing activities because the retailers can collect the assets and make additional assets, or let's say additional artwork productions based upon that. So we kind of provide the original assets that have home furnishing design, you know, everything is hunky-dory and good. And then they can further utilize the assets.
And we also use them in addition for the marketing purposes. We use a lower resolution version for 3D for internal requirements for commercial planning and the store design. So we build in 3D complete stores before they're actually in the world. The 3D products, which we have in the assets as in the DAM, will be used within placing within a 3D model of the store. It's for the building and design of stores and for the retailers. So when we go out and deploy a new store, we've already gone through and seen exactly what the flows are, passenger, the traffic requirements and so forth, and where the products and volumes are necessary. Put that all in.
Excellent. Yep. Great. And what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
Well, I would say that when we started this, then we were kind of, I think, a bit naive in terms of what DAM meant. So it was kind of happily naive because we didn't really understand what it would take from the business, everything from business to IT to, you know, infrastructure and so on. And we started off with this great idea of having the possibility to manage all the assets in a nice way, being able to store and distribute that. And then, of course, we started a bit small, having images, now 3D and product information. And during this roadmap, basically getting to learn more about what is DAM all about, what are the opportunities. And a big help there has also been getting good support from Style Labs in terms of advising how can we use this technology in a way that fits us. I would say that having good advisors, that has really helped us in that work.
Excellent.
Generally speaking, for Style Labs, so we've done other implementations also, I can say that next to the technical challenges, the biggest challenge is user adoption, but it's also the biggest reward. So if your community likes it, then the solution grows and you get back response, which is great. So that's the best reward and the biggest challenge at the same time.
For us, for instance, we come from a quite scattered landscape, having assets available at a dozen number of suppliers. So instead of people having to find the right person at the right agency or production company, now we actually know, okay, we know that we have at least one copy in our DAM, and we have a good support organization for that. It's kind of also security from a corporate point of view, that all the assets are safeguarded, and it's not so dependent on only one person knowing whom to call and so on. So that has been quite a reward, I would say, because it's actually working. People are more happy with getting access to the assets. And now when it's getting more popular also to talk about them and, you know, intellectual property, mm-hmm. everyone is quite happy that the basics are in place, because that's the biggest hurdle, I would say, getting commitment, getting buy-in, getting investments and so on.
Of course.
So, yeah.
So doing it one step at a time is actually the way to overcome this. Mm-hmm. Take it easy. The maturity of the client or the customer plays a big role in how much we as an integrator allow in a first phase. We always try to say, take it easy, because big bank solutions are ready to fail if you try too much at once.
Makes sense. So baby steps.
Yeah.
And it is a lot to cope with internally, within IT, within business, so many things that are popping up. Mm-hmm. So basically, when you're doing those kind of questions, mm-hmm. you kind of have to drive additional question marks within the company that no one has addressed so far.
Fair.
So you're getting into taxonomy, archiving, lifecycle management, you name it, search tags, all the kind of things that make sense to put together in a nice, harmonized way.
Yep.
But no one has really had the task to do that in the past. So I would say stepping into DAM, that's also stepping into all those open, let's say, small silos, getting that into one big, you know.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
I was saying, I went to one of the Henry Stewart DAM events 4 years ago as a kind of DAM for dummies for me. It was totally new to me. So that I found really good, because got a quite broad input, because you had the business track, you had the technology track and so on. And also being able to speak to the people behind the project, both the successful ones and also the failures.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is even more interesting.
True, of course.
So basically getting to know people, also being able to listen to, okay, what were the pitfalls? Mm-hmm. Can we avoid doing the same mistakes?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And are there people there that can help us with certain, let's say, parts that we cannot manage within our organization?
Sure.
So I think a kind of mixture of trying to understand what you want to do, mm-hmm. having good advisors on board, and having a good network of people that you can call and say, you know, how do we manage this? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, having that advisory board and being able to get that feedback about the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And what's good about being here now this time around is that we are now able to present our success and our discoveries back and contribute now to the other people working with DAM. Mm-hmm. And having had the access to the information, now being able to contribute information back is a good thing.
Excellent.
I think what's interesting also in this DAM space is that it's almost in between marketing and IT, an impossible bridge to make most of the time. But that's the beauty of it, that you open up your eyes and you hear the stories from both sides, which I think is a rich experience for anybody to have.
Excellent.
If you're going into practical requirements, for example, I would say preparation. Mm-hmm. To go into a project and really know exactly what exactly it is that you want to accomplish and what the requirements from the users are. Don't just build a DAM because it's cool to have a DAM. You know, if there's a need use case, take that and establish and use that as your grounds for going forward.
Great points.
And I think also don't, in terms of our rise or looking into what we can gain from it, I think not only calculating, you know, what does it cost or what do we gain, but also see that it's not really a choice, it's really necessary. So there aren't really we can't do this. So it's more about saying what can we gain over time. So there's a basic implementation first, and then you can do anything to kind of leverage based upon that. So the more you add, of course, the more return on your investment you will get. So it's really nice to have the foundation in place, and now everything we add to that will just, you know, be beneficial to the business.
Excellent.
I could add something about technology, if you want.
Sure.
So technology-wise, I would advise to be open for anything and pick the best in breed of specific use cases, and don't try to go just with one silo big thing. Just open your eyes, talk to a mixologist, and he will or she will help you get your solution together.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.